It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And brought to you by O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They are home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties, and they're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. All right, Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, speaking of those Auburn football watch parties, I'm assuming it was a rather eventful one with the Iron Bowl being last weekend.
Absolutely. We had quite an attendance. We had over 80 people. Everybody was having a good time, of course, until the game ended.
But right.
But it was nice. We had a really vibrant crowd. Everybody was happy to get out, especially with the cold weather and nothing else competing with the game in town. So for the Auburn folks, it was kind of the only thing to do was everybody get together and watch the game.
Right.
Had a great attendance. You know, I still am not disappointed with the game, but I am disappointed with the outcome.
For sure. Yeah, there's never.
I saw things there. Obviously, it was the seniors' last game, and they all played. They all played pretty well. It was the underclassmen that, for some reason, just couldn't. They couldn't get the parts to work together in this game. But we can go over that.
Yeah, yeah. As you said, you're never gonna. It's never gonna feel good, you know, losing to Bama. But. You mentioned some of the players that that showed out, or and some that may not have, and yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm gonna go ahead and get this out of the way now because it was upsetting to me, and I feel like this was probably a big deciding factor in the only 14 points y'all put up, and that's Jarquez Hunter. We had just talked about this kid. What did he have? 28 carries for 130 yards against A&M.
Yes,
and he finishes with 13 carries on the night against Alabama.
That's what I'm disappointed with.
Yeah.
I was expecting this game to be pretty much a carbon copy of the way we played against Texas A&M and the way we played against ULM.
That's what it should have been.
Where we put the emphasis on running. You know, run the ball until they make you do something else. And we didn't do that. I mean, Peyton Thorne threw the ball 41 times. And Jarquez only got 13 touches as a runner. He did get a couple of receptions as a receiver. Mm. But he needed to run the ball 20 times or more.
At least 20.
And I never saw Cobb. I never saw any other running backs out there. So nobody got another share of the runs. Jarquez Hunter was pretty much it. Peyton Thorne did take the ball and run with it a few times.
He did.
But those were RPOs where it was pretty obvious if the pass wasn't there, he's going to run it anyway. And he did it productively. He had 10 runs for 42 yards.
Right.
But the big thing that killed us was time of possession. It was almost 2-1 in Alabama's favor. Third down conversions. We only converted 4 of 12. They converted 12 of 18.
And that's really where the time of possession started to ramp
up. Those two things together – dictate statistically how the game's going to come out anyway. And that is pretty much it. We lost by a score 28 to 14, so 2-1, and the ratio of third down conversions and the ratio of time of possession was essentially 2-1.
Right.
So statistically that's where it all didn't come together for Auburn was we couldn't convert third downs, we couldn't extend the drives, and we didn't keep the possession of the ball offensively.
Right. If you are behind that much on time of possession and you have a running back that you are neglecting as much as Auburn has Hunter, you're not going to stand a chance probably against most teams. And when we're talking about an Alabama team that has seemingly clinched a playoff spot, we'll touch more on that later. Yeah, absolutely not. You can't make mistakes like that. You can't play in a way that is so opposite of what has helped you win in just, as you said, the past couple of weeks. ULM was smaller, but A&M as well. This guy's been cutting you up like nothing, and you turn him away. I don't get it. Peyton Thorne had a decent game. I think they're really wanting this kid to work. 301-yard passing game. I think this is consecutive weeks he has thrown for exactly 301 yards. As you mentioned, ran for 42 more. So he had a decent game.
And he only had one turnover.
Right.
Which is an improvement over the way he's started off in the first part of the season.
On the thorn curve, that's
so
huge.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, he was productive. The passing game was productive. Right. KLS had eight catches for 116 yards. Cam Coleman had seven catches. Ronaldo Fairweather, the tight end, had three catches. Malcolm Simmons, true freshman, had four catches. So the receivers were catching.
Yeah, it was a balanced passing.
He was 24 for 41 in passing. So, I mean, that's not bad. That's a better quarterback rating than what he obviously started off with in the year. Jarquez Hunter gets the ball 13 times and he's averaging 4.3 yards a carry. There's no reason not to run him like we did against Texas A&M. He should have gotten a minimum of 20 touches.
Right.
Make them do the same thing. Make Alabama make you one-dimensional. Don't start off one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Give him the ball until they stop the run and then figure something else out.
I agree 100%.
It was disappointing.
Oh, for sure. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Talk about this Iron Bowl thing here, Bill. I want to take it over to the defensive side because I do want to give the Auburn defense a lot of credit. We've done that all year, but I really want to give them one last hoorah because they were able to only hold Alabama to 28, which is a meh amount of points. It's average. But you got four takeaways. You really tried your best to take advantage of Alabama's recklessness with the ball. I've been covering Alabama this year on every Friday morning on the Roll Tide radio show, and that's something we've always talked about. Bama has had horrendous turnover issues at times, especially with Jalen Milroe. You guys took advantage of that, which really makes the offensive production, or lack thereof, all the more disappointing.
Oh, yeah. Alabama had three fumbles and one interception. I think they actually had five fumbles, but they recovered two of their own, and we recovered three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they, even though their third down conversion rate was 12 of 18, but we ended four of their offensive drives with turnovers, and we couldn't convert but one of them into points. You know, we got lucky and scored that last touchdown and went for two to make it a 14-point game. The kicker was improved over the last several weeks. Of course, he's that walk-on that we got from Birmingham. What was it, Birmingham Southern, when they shut their program down? Mm-hmm. So he's actually the third kicker on our team, and he just came on board halfway through the season. So
well, and he missed like a 39-yarder, right?
He did. But yeah. he ended up making all the other ones. I mean, they were all inside of 30 yards. But you know, that for us this year, that's an improvement.
Yeah.
Normally, our special teams game would be top shelf, but not this year.
Well, and you mentioned the receiving corps. This is the only thing I haven't touched on yet. Coleman and KLS, they did. They balled out especially. When you consider you only put up 14 points, these guys put up a stat line that implies differently. They combined for, as you said, 15 catches, 194 yards, and Peyton Thorne's only touchdown pass. It really hurts when you see that because there was some missed opportunities here, clearly. And that is – they did their part. Thorne did his on the passing end. The defense did theirs. This was a play-calling error with Jarquez Hunter, and that tells me – that, yeah, sure, Alabama won by double digits. Good for them. They're going to make the playoffs most likely. But this was an avoidable loss in every sense of the word.
Oh, certainly. This was a winnable game, especially with the turnover margin being what it was. The difference was we just couldn't convert. We couldn't convert drives. We couldn't make first downs. We had big plays, big chunk plays, but you can't win a ball game with a chunk play every now and then. You got to have some solid offense to back it up. The only silver lining out of this is, other than KLS, he's a senior. He was a portal transfer. Looks like we're keeping every. We have very few players that have announced that they're going into the transfer portal. And the big silver lining is, we have retained all of our commitments. And, of course, National Signing Day was, what, yesterday or day before?
Right.
And we picked up a couple of more big-time signees. We kept Deuce Knight. He stayed committed to Auburn. So whatever they're selling, regardless of what this game, the outcome of this game, the ingredients that Auburn has is very convincing to the kids that want to come play, and they're staying committed to Auburn, which is a good that's what worried me about this game. If we lost it, and especially losing it the way we did, not being very productive on offense, was going to cause a few of the commitments to change their mind, and fortunately that didn't happen.
Right. Auburn finishing the season 5-7, not going bowling, very, very unfortunate, because I do think this team was good enough to compete with especially some of the lower-end bowl teams out there. Some of the you mentioned recruiting. Throughout the season, we've had some good news with recruiting when it comes to Auburn football. A very bright-looking future. I think if Auburn can really up the play calling, they can be, at worst, a middle-of-the-road team in the SEC, and that's at worst. That's with guys like Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, all these guys floating around. So Auburn should be able to rise next season, but we'll just have to see. Speaking of some of those SEC teams that are floating around, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll be touching on some of these playoff implications here, because we got Alabama, we got the Ole Miss, we got even the South Carolina somehow. These teams are saying, hey, come on, playoffs are coming up. You got to give us some sugar. So we will touch on that when we return. But as for right now, you've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hey, football fans, O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown is the perfect spot to root for your favorite college and pro teams. O'Reilly's, with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. You'll find it all at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street downtown, and online at O'ReillysPub.com. You'll find it all at O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
You've got so many chances to win big on Hard Rock Bet. Even a small bet can bring in that serious cash. All you need is a dollar and a dream.
Unbelievable, they've hit the parlay.
Let's go!
Big payouts for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet, roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
It's Shrimply, the most wonderful time of the year. Shrimp Basket's annual gift card sale is back and a must-have for everyone on your Christmas list. For every $25 you spend in gift cards, you get a free $25 bonus card. That's right, Shrimp Basket lovers. Spend $25, get $25 free. No limit on how many you can buy. Now through December 31st, in-store at any of the 18 locations and online at shrimpbasket.com. Don't miss this Shrimply wonderful holiday offer.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can also find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. And, of course, War Eagle Weekly brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. All right, Bill, when we left off, we were talking about the upsetting yet easy to understand and avoidable loss to Alabama in the Iron Bowl, Auburn finishing the year 5-7. But just because the season may be over for Auburn football on the field, it's not the case for everybody else. We're looking at some of this college football playoff chatter. We got the college, conference title games, coming up this weekend, and then Selection Sunday. And there's a lot of implications going on here, especially with the SEC, in particular, the SEC teams that aren't playing this weekend. Before I even give my thoughts, before we even look at these games, look at the bracket, whatever else, you tell me, Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, one of those teams makes it in. Who should it be and why?
Well, Alabama, the argument for Alabama is obviously they're a legacy. They have so many national titles. They have the legend and the lore of Alabama. Yeah,
the brand.
But like we just discussed with them being turnover prone, they have weaknesses this season that they didn't have in previous seasons. So performance-wise, I'm not sure about Alabama. Ole Miss, I do like Ole Miss. I just love the high-scoring offense that they have. It's exciting to watch. And that's the kind of offense that you want to have going into postseason.
Yeah.
South Carolina, you know, the way they beat Clemson, I mean, there's an argument for all three of these teams.
Right.
South Carolina came on late. Ole Miss started off early. Alabama kind of had ups and downs.
Depends on the
season.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's kind of hard to really make a judgment between those three. And me being an Auburn guy, I don't really have a dog in the fight. But personally, I like Ole Miss.
Well, and I do think the consensus would agree with you. First of all, South Carolina, I do want to applaud them because they have done well. They really have. And their main argument right now is, well, if you look at who the best team is today, it's us. And I find that difficult to argue with. The problem is we don't just, you know, cover our eyes for 3 months and then decide, oh, okay, well, here's how our bracket's going to be. We have to hold you accountable for what you've done all season long. Nobody cares if you're looking good right now if you stunk earlier. And that's the case with South Carolina. They played Alabama tough in Tuscaloosa, but they lost. And then, my goodness, they hosted Ole Miss and got ran off their own field. You lost to both of those teams. You do not have a dog in the fight because of that. I think South Carolina, we're seeing some chatter, them saying, hey, come on, give us some love here. I just don't think if Ole Miss doesn't have an argument, South Carolina certainly doesn't. That's what brings me to the Rebels. They were behind Alabama last week And people were kind of looking at it like, hey, what's this about? Why is Ole Miss behind the Tide? And we kind of wanted the committee to change that. And the committee has effectively doubled down on it by putting Miami between Alabama and Ole Miss in the rankings. They are confirming Alabama would be in today, Ole Miss would not. And that has upset Lane Kiffin. It's upset a lot of Ole Miss fans, rightfully so. I think I told you last week, Bill, Ole Miss looked better against Georgia than Alabama did. They looked better against South Carolina than Alabama did. Sure, Alabama beat LSU, but Ole Miss beat Oklahoma, a team that ran Alabama off the field. They have the same records. While quality of loss overall may favor Bama, Bama got killed by somebody. Ole Miss hasn't. Ole Miss has been more competitively. They have been all around a better team. It is objective. Yet Ole Miss is not making the bracket based on what we see today. So I'm right there with you. I think Ole Miss should make it. I do think they're getting jobbed here in favor of Bama's aura.
Well, also one of the things to consider with Alabama is they lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But Vanderbilt's a good team.
If
Vanderbilt had been their normal pedestrian football team this year that
they're
they
three
would
and
normally
nine
are
selves, yeah.
and still beat Alabama, the quality of that loss would mean more and probably flip those two. I really think the quality of Vanderbilt is the difference maker between Alabama and Ole Miss. Because they're looking at quality of loss, quality of opponent.
Right.
Vanderbilt is a better quality product than it would have been even a year ago, 2 years ago.
Well, I'll add on to that. Let's say Vandy is still a bowl team. Maybe if Kentucky were better. That's the thing. Everyone's bringing up that Kentucky loss. Kentucky's having their worst season in years. Before this, they were a winning team like for a few seasons in a row. They just finished 4-8. If this were the typical Kentucky that we expected from Mark Stoops that beat Ole Miss by 3 points, maybe they'd be a bit more lenient. But everyone's saying you can't lose to a 4-win team and expect to get into the bracket. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe if Vandy were a little bit worse, maybe if Kentucky were a little bit better, we'd see some skewing in the rankings here. But Alabama, I think, still through it all has looked objectively worse. I think they are totally flighty. This team may win the Natty. They may get blasted in the first round. I don't know. You can't know with a team like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the metrics and analytics are that they're all making these decisions off of.
I think the last I checked, it's how much money they make.
Yeah,
with viewers.
Well, kind of, and how big their legacy is.
Yeah.
Like I said, me personally, I would love to see Ole Miss play against a Notre Dame in the first round of the playoffs.
You saying that it actually brings a pretty good point. Well, two good points, actually. The first one is you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. But, yes, the second thing, Bill, you brought up how the playoff is kind of shaping up right now. NCAA is talking about, okay, well, these teams – with how they're ranked today, if the bracket were to begin today, this is what we would have. And, yeah, some of these guys, we're looking at the same bracket here. It makes for some interesting matchups, I think we could say. Some of them perhaps closer than others.
Oh, I really like – I like the way this bracket looks. Of course, this is – the actual bracket coming out this coming Sunday could be completely different than what we're looking at.
Yeah.
But – I do like the matchups that are in this projected bracket. The Penn State-Arizona State matchup, that one, I just don't see Arizona State beating Penn State.
I think that would be a matter of them keeping it close, and it's like, hey, good for you, Sun Devils. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
gave them hell.
They deserve to be there, Arizona State. I mean, they have the record to be there, but I don't see them matching up very well with Penn State. The Tennessee-Ohio State one, I love that matchup.
I think that's great, especially in Columbus.
And I think Tennessee has the quality of football team that could beat Ohio State at home.
They have a
blueprint now to go by. All they got to do is look at last week's game.
Yeah, look at Michigan.
Yeah, Alabama, Notre Dame. I'm torn because I don't want either one of those teams to win.
Did they both lose somehow?
Yeah, Indiana, Georgia. That's a pretty lopsided matchup in my opinion.
Yeah, that's another one where you would just kind of have to, similarly to Arizona State and Penn State, you'd have to be pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Like, okay, maybe Indiana gives them a bit more of a scare than we thought they would.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way I look at, Arizona State and Indiana, they earned their position to be there based on their record. They have good football teams. I just don't know that they're quite good enough to beat the quality of teams that they're matched up in this bracket. I just don't see it. I mean, it'll be an entertaining game to watch, but it's a lopsided matchup. And that's why they do the matchups the way they do in the first bracket anyway.
Right. You're supposed to be, you know, the underhanded team. You're going on the road. You are being ranked lower because of who you've played and how you've played them. But I look at teams like Indiana and I look at teams like Arizona State, and I do. I'm right there with you. I love the way this bracket is done because that's all these teams wanted. They just wanted consideration. Before this year, you know what people would have said about Indiana and Arizona State? They would have looked at them and they would have done what you and I are doing. Oh, well, they don't look the part, so we're not even going to give them an opportunity. Well, now they've got an opportunity. If they get smeared, if they are underneath the cleat of their opponent, you know, fine. At least they got a chance to prove themselves. It's their fault they didn't capitalize. Right now, I'm just happy to see that Indiana looks like a lock for this bracket. Arizona State, assuming they win, they look like a lock. Of course, that could be Iowa State. As you said, there's several shifts we can see here. I think with how the actual conference title games are going to pan out and how these teams are going to end up, I don't think Bama goes to Notre Dame. Notre Dame probably ends up the 5 seed, so they would be the ones hosting someone like an ASU or an Iowa State. That would have Alabama maybe going to Columbus instead. I think that would be pretty interesting. I think you and I seem to disagree on that. We talked about it before we went live this morning. You don't really buy Ohio State.
No, I don't.
Just the unenthusiastic, no. You kidding me?
You watch them play. It's not impressive. It's Michigan is not the Michigan that they were last year.
They are certainly not.
Still beat Ohio State at Ohio State. Michigan's defense played like their hair was on fire.
Yeah, they did. Shut them down.
And that's exactly that's the blueprint to beating Ohio State. You have a defense that just is not going to let them march up and down the – you know, they took that one drive and they drove it all the way in for a touchdown in 7 plays, and then Michigan shut them down after that. Mm. You know, they were – especially –
caught on pretty quick.
Especially the momentum shifted in that game with that turnover.
Yep.
That almost ended up being a pick six. That flipped the momentum in that game, and Ohio State never – they were back on their heels, and they never got off their heels.
Yeah, that's a rough loss for the Buckeyes. Obviously, they're in the playoffs no matter what, but it's a rough loss for them as far as where they go from here. People were calling for Ryan Day's head before this game, and now losing at home like they did. Yeah, that was a rough look. I'm not convinced that Alabama can beat Ohio State, but it's not as much a matter of Ohio State being that great. I think it's also Alabama just being, as we said, they are hit or miss. Jalen Milroe is either the reincarnation of Louisville Lamar Jackson, or he looks like me out there. I don't know what to make of this kid, but he's not looking the part. Alabama seems like they can be pretty one-dimensional defensively if you've got a good rushing attack. So I don't know. I think especially when you combine those question marks, going into Columbus, dealing with the weather change, so on and so forth, I could see OSU winning that game. It just depends, if not on anything else, the type of Alabama you're going to get.
If it's cold and wet, that definitely works in Ohio State's favor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, the SEC Alabama, teams, they don't practice in it and they don't play in it.
Yeah, so. Alabama players are shivering when it's 60 degrees out. Just past 10:30 here, we'll take another quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And also O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hey, football fans, O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown is the perfect spot to root for your favorite college and pro teams. O'Reilly's, with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. You'll find it all at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street downtown, and online at O'ReillysPub.com. You'll find it all at O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
No, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. For a limited time, trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
The Port of Pensacola, where history and opportunity converge. Since 1754, they've been a cornerstone of Northwest Florida's economy. And today, they're home to over 20 leading businesses, including CMEX Materials, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. More than just a port, they're a vital part of our region's growth. Discover the potential at portofpensacola.com.
Hey folks, when it comes to Christmas trees, don't get played by foreign plastic. Just like you wouldn't replace a prized QB with a mannequin. Don't replace American Farm Fresh trees with fake foreign plastic. These farm families are the MVPs of Christmas, growing champions right here on American soil. They're not sitting on the bench. They're out there every day growing real Christmas traditions. Make the winning choice, Farm Fresh Christmas trees, not foreign plastic that pollutes. Visit GetRealKeepItReal.com to find your local farm MVP.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show. 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. You can find them across from Five Flags Speedway. And they also have a special. You can saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And also O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They've been your home for Auburn football watch parties every week, and they're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. All right, speaking of some football watch parties, Bill, I'm sure you and I are gonna be putting some on this weekend because it's conference title game weekend. There's a lot of games to dig into. We're gonna go ahead. We're gonna save next segment for Auburn basketball. We typically open with them, but I'll take this time now to say that starting next week we are gravitating towards a more basketball centric style because with Auburn football's season coming to an end and with them really ramping up on basketball, we're gonna be touching more on that. So we'll go ahead and get these conference title games out of the way now. And look, we've got games on Friday. We've got games on Saturday. Some of them are important. Some of them aren't. But we're going to treat them all equally here, starting on a pretty mild note. Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State, both teams 8-4. Interestingly enough, these teams just faced off, I think it may have been last week, and it came down to like a two-point game. So Jacksonville State favored by 5 here. Who do you got?
I like Jacksonville State.
I think it was Western Kentucky that just won by like 2. And it's like, okay, that is setting the tone for a very sobering rematch.
Oh, yeah, revenge game.
Yeah, so I understand Jacksonville State being favored. I assume they covered the spread even. All right, this is the first one that has some oomph. We've got UNLV and Boise State. This is Friday night, 7 o'clock. UNLV number 20, Boise State number 10. Now, everybody's been looking at Boise State as just kind of this easy money pick for the Group of Five champ. They already beat UNLV by, what, 5 this year? Now they got to face him again. If Boise State loses this game, UNLV is poised to make the bracket as the Group of Five champ, but the Broncos are favored by 4. You think UNLV can get some of their own get back?
UNLV is desperately going to want to play the role of the spoiler.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, they're going to throw the proverbial kitchen sink at them, you know. I still like Boise in this game, though.
I got Boise State because I do just simply think they're a better team. I think they're going to be just looking to plow through this one. Don't even think about it. Just plow through to the playoffs. I think that's their mindset right now. But, yeah, you said UNLV is wanting to play spoiler? Absolutely. I mean, heck, UNLV, they're not just playing to ruin someone else's good time. They're playing for a playoff spot. That is how they're looking at it. Speaking of teams that we kind of thought would be looking for a playoff hunt, Tulane goes to Army. Army's number 24. They're 10-1 on the year. I say go to Army. It's the American Athletic Conference title game. But Army, 10-1. Tulane favored by 5, however. What do you think?
I like Army. Of course, being an Army vet, I'm definitely
got some skin in the game.
Army. I am excited about this Army team. I just like them. You know, they're playing old school, old fashioned smash in the face football.
Hey, as the founding fathers intended, my friend.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's just typical. It's the typical look of an Army or a academy type team.
Right.
They're not recruiting the 5-star athletes because.
They're getting the Patriots.
Well, yeah, because they don't want they don't want to commit to the military service. They have to serve after they complete their education. So, you know, it kind of limits what they can do as far as recruiting and the type of athletes they get in there. This year, they have everything in place. They have a really good defense. They are running the ball all over the place. I think they even have a pretty decent passing game. I haven't seen that much about their passing game. But I do like Army winning this game. And, of course, I'm going to have to pull for Army over Navy 2 weeks from now. So.
Well, and I'm also noticing that these Friday games are listed as if they are taking place at the home team. So, for example, Army, it says this game against Tulane is taking place in West Point. It says Boise State UNLV is taking place in Boise. So if these teams are able to host their conference title games – if that is a thing that is now in session, I either am not aware about it or forgot about it. But if that's the case, then Tulane being favored by 5 is pretty bold. They're having to make quite a trek. And we talked about weather being a factor. Louisiana team going to New York?
Yeah, Army's used to playing in that kind of weather. And right. they run the type of offense that suits them for that type of weather.
Yeah, run heavy.
Yeah, it's a ball control offense. So.
Right.
So I like Army in this game.
I think I can get behind that. I think I can get behind that, especially if they're playing in New York. We got this time of year, as I said, I'll say it again just in case you didn't hear me. We got to worry about the weather changes there. It is expected to be, according to AccuWeather on ESPN, it's expected to be 28 degrees. So, hey, Ucasian fans of the Tulane crew, be on the lookout for that. All right, moving on to Saturday here. This is where the real full slate comes in. We are talking about several playoff-worthy games here. But first, want to give you a quick reminder. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here with you. Bill, we get started firing off early. This is a playoff-deciding game for both sides. Number 16, Iowa State. Number 15, Arizona State. Taking place in Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium. Arizona State on a neutral site, favored by 2, and I, for one, agree with this.
I do like Arizona State. But this matchup, I mean, you look at their records, you look at what type ball team they are, and you look at the conference that they come out of, it's pretty much a coin flip.
Yes.
I think it's really just going to come down to who has the ball last. Mm-hmm. Who is the last team to possess the ball offensively, and if they can make a score, I really think that's going to be the difference in the game.
Yeah, they're sitting at around, based on the over-under and based on the point spread, they're sitting at around like a 26-24 type of score here.
See, I was thinking 23-21.
Yeah, great minds think alike. You and the bettors really rubbing elbows right now. I will say I do agree with Arizona State being favored because they've been firing on all the more cylinders right now. This team has really looked good. You expected them to kind of flinch with Arizona, you know, being a rival on the road, so on and so forth. Plowed through them 49-7. No problem. So they are locked in, ready to go. Iowa State defied some odds against K-State, but I'm not wowed by the Cyclones. They seem a bit more iffy to me, quite frankly. So I'll take the Sun Devils there. This one, I'm sure if you live in the state of Ohio, your life is riding on this Saturday. The Bobcats go to Miami of Ohio, the Red Hawks. I say they go to them. It's in Ford Field. I keep getting this mixed up. But Miami, favored by 1.5. They beat Ohio back in October. Do you think the Bobcats try to get some get back, as I said earlier?
Yeah, revenge game for them. But I still – I think Miami of Ohio is going to win the game. Mm-hmm. I think they're the better team.
I did. I had this coming down to a very close margin. I think this is probably going to be one of the more competitive conference title games. And that's saying something because we've got some narrow spreads throughout this weekend. So I have this one actually being one of the better ones. I've got Miami of Ohio, though, squeaking past. I think Ohio comes just short. All right. Georgia at Texas. Quite a jump in the gun in relevance here. Georgia number 5, Texas number 2. Georgia went to Austin, won by double digits, 30-15, I believe. Now Georgia's in their home state with a stage they're very familiar with, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. But Texas, nonetheless, favored by 2.5. You buy that?
Actually, I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think Texas is playing better now than they did during the regular season when they played Georgia. I think right now they're playing better. They're playing a higher quality football than Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
I mean, Georgia Tech should have won that game against Georgia.
Yeah, you can't – 8 overtimes, you can't say they didn't have a chance, especially with how big of a lead they had, what, at halftime? It was 17-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, Georgia Tech led the game all the way up to the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, come on.
So, Georgia's not playing at the same level as Texas is right now, so I see Texas winning this game.
Yeah, if we're going by rivalry week, Texas was undoubtedly the better-looking team. I took Georgia because I do think they are just better, and I think Texas is going to kind of crack under the pressure. This is an unfamiliar environment for them. I think they may buckle a little bit when it comes to knowing what all could be riding on this game, but – hey, both teams are going to make the playoffs no matter what. I'll take Georgia by one score. It's not going to be as lopsided as it was the first time, but I'll take Georgia probably by around 8 points if I had to guess, 6-8. All right, quick hitter here. Marshall, 9-3. They travel to Lafayette, Louisiana to take on 10-2 Raging Cajuns, favored by 6.
I love Marshall. Just
great story.
The story behind the school and the program and everything is just it's an awesome. I don't know that much about these two football teams this year, but my heart says Marshall.
Mm. Well, and I'm all for that. With that said, I'm taking Louisiana because while I also like the Marshall story, Louisiana, they've both had good offenses this year, but Louisiana has struggled a bit less throughout some of their games this season. And they've got the better record, so why not? Especially if they're at home, heck, I'll take the Raging Cajuns. All right, number 3 Penn State, number 1 Oregon. I've heard a lot of conflicting views on this one. Oregon is number 1. They have been untouchable, 12-0, unrivaled. They are favored by 3.5 in Indianapolis as they take on Penn State in Lucas Oil Stadium. Penn State has not impressed me, unless it be against weaker competition. But I've seen people saying, in spite of the point spread favoring the Ducks, that Penn State may have a chance here.
Well, I've said it more than once on this program about the Oregon team. Speed.
Yes.
Oregon is well matched up against Penn State physically, but Oregon's difference maker is going to be the speed of the game, the speed of the way they play football. Penn State hasn't played anybody that plays as fast as Oregon.
Right. And I understand that Oregon doesn't really have many statement wins. They beat Ohio State by 1 point at home. And outside of that, I think their best-looking win based on ranked opponent is Boise State. And that is a team, if they're the front runner, that's a team they should have ran over. So I know that Oregon is looking on the weaker end right now. But with how good they've looked, as you said, very fast-paced team, Penn State, I kind of get Ryan Day, Ohio State vibes off them. They're kind of looking like a team that's never going to get over the hump. So, sorry, Penn State. I've called you the Ole Miss of the Big Ten before. I think that's what you are. So, give me the Ducks. Lastly, this is very, very important. Number 8 SMU taking on number 17 Clemson in Charlotte. Now, some would argue that if SMU loses this game close, they should get in over someone like Alabama. They would be 11-2 to Bama's 9-3. They would have two losses to what are currently top 20 teams, I believe. And they will have made a conference title game that Bama did not. So let's say SMU loses. They're favored by 2.5, but let's say they lose by 3. Do you think they should get in over Bama?
I'm not even sure how to answer that question because I don't think SMU is going to lose this game.
I don't think they are either, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think SMU is going to beat Clemson. But if they don't, I still like them over Alabama just because of their record and the fact that they did get to a title game, a conference title game.
Yeah.
Those factor in with the analytics when it comes to picking the brackets. And you can't overlook that.
Right. And I agree 100%. The argument's there. I think it's pretty stout. But heck, if SMU loses this game and they're in that proximity with Bama and you got to make a judgment call, if the committee won't take a fellow SEC team over Alabama, I don't know if they'd take an ACC team. So SMU has to be playing this game as if it is make or break, because it very well just might be. But I do think SMU wins. Decent scoring game. I'll say 33-27. Something in that ballpark. But the Mustangs, regardless of what happens, props to them. They've been one of the most thrilling teams this year. First year in the ACC, 8-0 in conference play, top 8 team right now, favored to win the ACC. It's phenomenal. Florida State, they were saying in their lawsuit in the offseason, SMU is going to make the conference look bad, and he is correct. Well, Florida State was spot on.
Yeah, SMU is the Texas that we have in the SEC. They are the equivalent of Texas in the SEC.
Yeah, they've just
first year in the conference and
taking on everybody
right to the top.
That is, it's a phenomenal story. You want to talk about Marshall? I want to talk about SMU. That's a great tale right there. All righty, just almost 10:50 here. We'll take one last quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And when we return, as I said before, we'll talk about some Auburn basketball. Had a big game against Duke, came down to the wire, what it means for Auburn going forward as one of the most proven teams in this country. Details on that and more coming up.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hey, football fans, O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown is the perfect spot to root for your favorite college and pro teams. O'Reilly's, with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. You'll find it all at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street downtown, and online at O'ReillysPub.com.
You'll find it all at O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
Thanks to Total Wine, you saved more on all the gifts for the ones you adore. Wine, spirits, beers all nestled on shelves. Got some advice from our helpful elves. Oh, so many gifts to explore when you go to Total Wine and more. Bottle so delightful, whoa, whoa, whoa. Priced so amazingly low, low, low.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, be 21.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Hey folks, when it comes to Christmas trees, don't get played by foreign plastic. Just like you wouldn't replace a prize QB with a mannequin, don't replace American farm fresh trees with fake foreign plastic. These farm families are the MVPs of Christmas, growing champions right here on American soil. They're not sitting on the bench. They're out there every day growing real Christmas traditions. Make the winning choice, farm fresh Christmas trees, not foreign plastic that pollutes. Visit getrealkeepitreal.com to find your local farm MVP.
This is Wayne Barr from Anderson Subaru wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. God bless.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Pensacola Hardware wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Abby at Stillwater's Day Medical Spa, and we're wishing you a happy holiday.
Hi, this is Leslie Perino with EW Bullitt wishing everyone happy holidays.
This is Riley from Drip Parlor Downtown wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
Hurricane season is here, and when the next storm approaches, you'll want to tune into our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, your source for the most up-to-date and accurate hurricane and severe weather coverage. News Radio Pensacola will have wall-to-wall coverage of the storm, tracking its path, reporting on evacuations, power outages, and any damage to our community. They'll have the latest forecasts, emergency instructions, and updates on recovery efforts. Stay informed with News Radio Pensacola's comprehensive hurricane coverage, now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, online at newsradio923.com, or on their mobile app.
Tomorrow in college play, Tulane takes on Army in the AAC Championship game at 6 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola. Champions play here.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway and on O'Reilly's Irish Pub, home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. So thank you very much to our sponsors. And speaking of our sponsors, we're kind of trying to make a shift here, Bill. We're moving onward from Auburn football to Auburn basketball starting next week. It's going to be a bit more of a basketball central broadcast every Thursday. Now, we'll still keep track of the college football season and the playoffs, of course, some SEC storylines going on in football and basketball. But, of course, this is Auburn first. And that's what brings us to Auburn's game last night against number 9 Duke.
Yeah, we went to Duke. We started off hot. We were ahead by double digits early in the game. And then Duke started hitting shots, a couple of takeaways, a couple of fast breaks, and the next thing you know, we're tied. And then Duke got ahead and stayed ahead pretty much the rest of the game. Our players played well. Janiah Broome, arguably the best player in NCAA basketball, had another double-double. He had 20 points and 12 rebounds with three assists, so that's like seven – I think every game he's played this year, we're 7-1. I want to say 7 out of those 8 games he's had a double-double.
Really?
So he's having a remarkable season. Miles Kelly was hitting threes early, but he got cold late in the game. But his first three attempts from the three-point line were just money right in. He was a big reason we got off to a really hot start. Chad Baker-Mazzara had a great game. He scored 17 points. The bench had a lot of points. Pettiford came off the bench. He scored 20 points.
Right.
We just couldn't match them in the latter half of the game. They got ahead, and they managed to stay ahead. That's a hard place to go play, though.
No doubt.
I mean, you look at it this way. Auburn traditionally was never a basketball school.
Very true.
Duke is a blue blood. They've been a basketball school forever. So it was going to be an uphill battle anyway, even with the rankings, us being ranked number 2 and them being ranked number 9. It's hard to go through a basketball season undefeated. I don't care whether you
especially
are a blue blood.
If you're out of conference.
Yes. I always knew we were going to take a loss somewhere. I'd rather take a loss to a number 9 Duke than a loss to an unranked out-of-conference team.
For sure.
It was a disappointing outcome. What I saw from the players and the way they played, it didn't look any different than the way they played in the Maui Invitational. Mm-hmm. We weren't hitting the shots. There were a lot of shots at the basket that were just off.
Right.
And we weren't getting a lot of offensive rebounds. So I think those two things get a little more accurate with your shot making, maybe not take as high a higher percentage shot versus a lower percentage shot. and have your bigs under the basket to get the offensive rebounds. I think that would have been the difference. That was the difference in this game, was not getting the offensive rebounds.
Well,
we didn't get any second chance. We didn't get very many second chance points.
Yeah, and another couple issues that you and I talked about before we went live this morning. Duke had half the turnovers you did, significantly less fouls, I think six less fouls officially. So they played a better disciplined game as well.
Yeah, we had three players with two fouls before in the first 16 minutes of the game.
See, you can't have that. Not against Duke. Not on the road. That's a team getting in your head. And but as you said, through it all, I think Jahni Broom did have what has been compared to recently a slower game, dare I say. Still put up 20 and 12, four players hitting double digits, so still showing that depth that we all like. This was a great game for y'all nonetheless, even with it being a loss. As you said, this is the epitome of a quality loss. When they're talking about quality losses, they're talking about these, going to a top 10 Duke, losing by six.
Yeah, this is the kind of matchup you would normally or typically see in the tournament at the end
right.
of the season.
Yeah.
I still think Auburn is the number two ranked team in the country. Kansas got beat also.
Badly, by Creighton. Now, I don't know how much that means. Creighton's infamously a regular season team.
Well, Creighton's kind of one of those – I would consider them a blue blood team. They've always been a basketball school.
Very consistent, and in the Big East, that goes a long way.
Yeah, so I mean, they're always somebody to contend with. So I think everybody's obviously, like I said, it's very difficult to go through an NCAA basketball season undefeated, and I don't really see anybody in the top 10 with fewer than two losses. I still think pretty much everybody that's going to be in ranked is still going to have a loss or two on their schedule. It's a matter of who you lose to and where.
Right, and that's where Auburn is really sitting pretty. And not only that, but this game's a minor setback. But heck, what we're kind of looking at where y'all are right now with your remaining non-conference games. Three of your last five are against smaller schools. You play Richmond. That's your next game. You play Georgia State, and you play Monmouth. All three of those teams have four losses or more against smaller competition. Hell, I think Monmouth is 1-8. So you're going to be just fine. Your next big game's against Purdue, and you don't even go on a true road game again until Texas in January.
Actually, I think our next big game
Ohio State.
December the 14th at Ohio State,
even though they're
not ranked.
They've got a couple losses, but yeah, that's nonetheless bigger competition. Big Ten's had their moments in basketball as well. All right, that just about does it for this week of War Eagle Weekly. We'll see you next Thursday, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.